chapter 2, verse 23. And we're going to be talking about the Sabbath and how it fits into the thing. It's a big part of all of the stories in the Gospels because the Sabbath was a big deal for the Jewish people. Our text today reflects upon this problem, though, of turning God's grace into law. See, the Pharisees accused Jesus' disciples of breaking a commandment by doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. And I was actually going to read you a list of things that were prohibited by the Jews on the Sabbath, but that would be our entire sermon for today. Suffice to say that in Jesus' time, pretty much everything was prohibited on the Sabbath. But as we're going to find out, the idea of the Sabbath is not a regulation and a law. And even the Jews in their day knew this. And how do we know that? Because we know from historical records that, so it's the Sabbath that I'm not allowed to walk any more than a mile. Unless you stop for a meal. So the day before the Sabbath, they would have a food placed 1 mile out. And on the Sabbath, they would walk to wherever the food was. They would stop and eat the food. And sort of in the language we would use today, that reboots the rule. And then they could walk on. And they would have all kinds of things like that. You can't cook, you can't clean on the Sabbath, but they would have Gentiles working for them who would cook and they would clean. You see what's going on here. They had turned God's commandment into a law, and as we sadly hear too many times today, well, yes, I did that, but it wasn't actually against the law exactly. So human beings have a tendency to look at the law and say, yeah, I know what the law is, and they try to figure a way around it. However, as happened very often in Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees would use the law to try to hang Jesus up. So we're going to read verses 23 to 28. Turn with me in your Bible and just kind of follow along. And it goes like this. On one Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Well, we've heard that before, I'm sure. But let's delve into that a little bit. You see, it was religious pride that moved the Pharisees to make a big deal about that. They knew better than Jesus what God intended when he first created the Sabbath. You think about that? They knew better what God had in mind when he created the Sabbath. Of course, Jesus is God, but they didn't acknowledge that. The truth of the matter is that it doesn't really matter on what day we honor the Sabbath. I put some notes in your bulletin there. You can kind of refer to them later on. But let me run through a few things about the Sabbath. The Sabbath day is an ordinance of creation. The Sabbath day is an ordinance of creation. What we mean by that is he set one day in seven aside for worship at the very, very beginning. It's in Genesis 2:3. You can look it up. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So it was part of the creation process, this setting up of the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath was given as a gift to us. So in our verse today, it says the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God created the Sabbath for us. He created the Sabbath for us when he created Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them one holy day and seven in which to rest and worship for their good. Well, you know, you said, well, the text actually said, and on the seventh day, God rested. Well, he's the creator God of the universe. The fact that he rested does not in any way imply that he needed rest. He chose to finish creation through 6 days, and on the seventh day he chose not to. And then he gives it a command to us. that on that seventh day we are to rest. We are to emulate him. They were doing the Sabbath before the Ten Commandments even showed up, if you think about it. God's people observed the Sabbath prior to God's writing it on tablets of stone. The people of Israel gathered up the manna from heaven. Remember that? And God's instructions were, you will gather 6 days, but on the seventh day you don't gather anything. Do you remember the story? So on the sixth day, they gathered up double so that on the seventh day they would not be doing any gathering. And even then, people try to mess with the rules, right? So some people gathered up stuff on the seventh day, which immediately rotted. So when God says, on the Sabbath day you rest, he actually means rest, not gather manna. Now, this is a serious command. God visited his people on Mount Sinai. He delivered the Ten Commandments. This is in Exodus 31:18. You can read that. Since the Sabbath commandment is one of the Ten Commandments, it has the same force and authority as all the other ones. This was something that happened in Jesus' day. They would discuss which commandment was more important than the others. But what I'm telling you is that the Ten Commandments are the commandments of God. Would we all agree to that? Can I get an amen? Okay, so you have to be very careful to say, well, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, that's a commandment, and we got to stick to that one. And on the seventh day you shall rest. Well, that's another commandment. So that's not as important as the other one. Really? The Word of God says these are the Ten Commandments from God. So the idea of having a Sabbath day, on the seventh day you will rest, has the same force and command as you shall have no other gods before me. So we mess with the Sabbath at some risk, in my opinion. And the other note I had there is, Sabbath is part of our true identity. See, God promises that all members of the new covenant will have the Old Testament law written on their hearts, not on parchment paper or stones. And he reaffirms that in a couple of other places. So then there's some other things about the Sabbath we just kind of want to mention. That first of all, the commandment is, in you will keep one day in seven holy. You will keep one day in seventh as a day of rest where you do no work. Now, when this was written, your Gregorian calendar that you have in your phone and on your wall and every place else did not even exist. There was no such thing as Saturday and Sunday. That came centuries and centuries later on. There was no Saturday or Sunday. There was keep one day in seventh as a Sabbath rest. And that is the commandment. Paul even says when he's writing to the Corinthians that one man keeps one day, one man keeps another day. The point is they keep one day in seven holy. Now, there are folks that will say, no, it's Saturday. It's always been Saturday. It always will be Saturday. If you're not Sabbath resting on Saturday, then you've changed the Bible. Well, like I said, when this was written, when this was given to us by God, there was no Saturday or Sunday. There was no, those days didn't even exist later on. So the we have to focus on what it actually says. You shall keep the seventh day holy. This is a Sabbath rest. Now, how do we arrive at Saturday and Sunday? Here's our modern controversies. Just like the Pharisees, we like to argue about stuff. Everybody's quiet, so I guess you agree. We're human beings. We like to argue about stuff, right? Well, the argument goes like this. Well, in Jesus' day, the Sabbath was on Saturday, and that's when he celebrated it. And they changed it later on. Well, yes, he's correct. In Jesus' day, the Sabbath was on from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. That was the Sabbath. And that's, listen carefully, that's when the Jews chose to honor the Sabbath rest. That's when they chose to do that. And they were very legalistic about it. It has to be this time. So how do we end up on Sunday? Well, it's simple. Christians moved it to Sunday to commemorate the day that Jesus rose from the grave. Even in that time, we did have the a Roman calendar and whatnot. So Saturday was the last day of the week. Sunday was the first day of the week. Not Monday, by the way. It was an interesting note when I looked this up. A lot of people have Sunday worship or Saturday worship. Nobody ever has Monday for worship. I kind of understand that. But anyway, the point is, yes, that Sabbath day in Jesus' time was on this Friday night till Saturday, but that was set up by human beings. God's commandment is you will keep one day in seven as a Sabbath rest. So here's where we come back to our story. The Pharisees were so dialed into regulation and law, which, by the way, they set up, that anybody who violated that law was violating the Word of God. So what we have to figure out is, what was God talking about when he said the Sabbath day rest? And what was its purpose? What was his intention? Because God always judges the intentions of your heart. Did you know that? When you try, when you strive, when you work to follow God's commandments and his laws, it pleases him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So he looks at that. Now, here we are. I think we're all human beings in this room. Any exceptions? Okay, good. Human beings are not perfect, and human beings sometimes fall short. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we do make mistakes and fall short from time to time. But God is not keeping score. If you are in Christ, your slip-ups and your errors are forgiven. However, there's always a however, right? The however is this. God judges the intention of your heart. If you are intentionally violating God's law, if you are intentionally sinning, there's going to be repercussions for that. So when you look at the Sabbath, we need to step back and say, what did God have in mind when he brought us the Sabbath? And how are we addressing it there? So we go back and look at it this way. The reason Jesus came into the world was to keep this and all the other commandments perfectly in our place. So Jesus honors the Sabbath, but he's not legalistic about it. You see, in the text, what it tells us is they're walking along with the disciples and they're hungry, so they grab a few grains to eat. And the Pharisees get all wrapped up in this thing. Why are they violating the Sabbath? Well, you think to yourself, well, how are they violating the Sabbath? Because even plucking a few heads of grain off the stalks was considered by them working. So that basically what the Pharisees were saying is, you're harvesting on the Sabbath day. And so they want to nail Jesus about this. And he gives them a story, gives them an example. In 1 Samuel, we have a period of time when David is on the run from Saul. If you kind of know the general story, Saul had fallen from grace with the Lord. He still was king. David had been anointed king by Samuel, but Saul was chasing him around the country trying to kill him. Summary, right? So David is on the run. David has no weapons, no food, no anything, and he goes to the priest Abiathar. If you want to read the whole story, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 21. But the point of the story is David, who the people actually know has now been anointed king, goes into the temple, goes to the priest, and he says, basically, I'm starving, and so are my men. And Abiathar says, well, the only food that we have here is the bread of the presence. Now, what that means is there was fresh bread placed on the altar on a regular basis. And as time would go, they would cook fresh bread and take that bread out and put this bread in. The only people who were supposed to, according to the rules, eat that bread were the priests themselves. But Abiathar talks to David. He knows that David has been anointed by God to be the king of Israel. He says, the only thing we have is the bread of the presence. And he gives this to David. And David shares it with his men. And if you know the rest of David's story, he eventually becomes the man after God's own heart, and he becomes the king of Israel. So apparently, God was not upset by him eating the bread. So he's giving them an example. They're telling you, you broke the rule, you're harvesting on the Sabbath. He says, wait, don't you know the story? What David did? He went into the house of God in the time of Abiathar, and he ate the bread, which is not lawful for any but the priest, and also gave it to those who were with him. So he's kind of hoisting them on their own petard, as they say. He's using scripture against them. So the next thing that happens is he tells them this very, very important thing. He told them that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So now let's put it all together. God initiated the Sabbath rest, not because God needed rest, because God ordained that his creation, his people, Adam and Eve and all the generations, would take one day out of seven, and they would set that aside. Now, not only were they to set it aside from work, which he's very clear about that, they are to set it aside as a holy day to the Lord. They are to set it aside as a day when their worldly things are put on hold. Let me say that again. The Sabbath is a day when you are supposed to set aside your worldly stuff. And yes, that includes working and traveling and all that kind of thing. Set aside all of your worldly stuff and dedicate that one day in seven to the Lord. Do you get it? That's what God instituted when he instituted the Sabbath. That's what Jesus means when he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Listen, Pharisees, it's our job is not to fall in line and check off a box that we're obeying this law because, you know, obviously we are supposed to obey the law, right? We were created to obey the law. That was their point of view on everything. And believe me, they had a law for everything. So what Jesus is trying to tell them, no, you're missing the entire point. The Sabbath day is a day for you to set aside all your worldly stuff and fill it up with God. Now, if someone does that, no pun intended, if someone does that religiously every single Saturday, and they observe the Sabbath and fill that up with worship to the Lord, based on the text, are they fulfilling the Sabbath? I think they are. Now, if someone is doing that on Sunday, are they fulfilling the Sabbath? Yes, they are. They're taking one day out of seven, which is the actual command, and dedicating it to the Lord. So where does that leave us? Well, we're on Sunday, and there are some folks that do Saturday. Where does that leave us? If you are they're called Messianic Jews. They had another name years ago, Jews for Jesus. They're Jewish people who have become Christians. They still do their Sabbath on Saturday. One of my mentors, he came and preached for you many years ago. His name is Lee Brooks. Was raised Jewish and became a believer, went to Bible college. He's been a solid Christian like 50 years at this point. And he goes to a nice church out in Orange County. He loves it because it's a big church, good fellowship and all that. But he also goes to worship on Saturday at a Jewish Messianic Jewish synagogue. And the day is going to come when I'm going to go there. Because why? Because they worship Jesus Christ. Now, they have their Sabbath on Saturday. So you know what? As I read Scripture, I'm totally in line with those people. So this controversy, whether it's Saturday or whether it's Sunday, you see what's going on there? That's getting human beings to go back and forth about how are we following the rules. But here's the thing. Whose rules are they? Whose rules are they? The Pharisees are saying the rules that we have established for generations, so they're making it authoritative because it's been going on a long time. And just for your information, just because a thing has been going on a long time doesn't make it more authoritative. There's been things in our own American history that we did for a very, very long time, which were not very good things. So the argument that, well, this is what we've been doing for generations and generations, so therefore it's authoritative. No, it isn't. The Word of God is authoritative. And no matter how you read the text, the commandment is you'll keep one day and seventh holy to the Lord. So that brings us to today. Now, the early Christians moved the Sabbath day, the one day in seven, to Sunday to commemorate when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, if you remember, the early Christians were in trouble with the Jews constantly because the Jews were, that was one of the things, they were attached to this Sabbath thing, and these Christians didn't do all that stuff. The Pharisees distorted the reasons and the purposes of the Sabbath. They were working not to work on the Sabbath. Let me see if you caught that. They were working not to work on the Sabbath. They were working to keep the rules. You're not supposed to work to keep the rules. You shouldn't have to work. So they were working to work on, not to work on the Sabbath. They turned the whole concept of rest into just one more work that people have to do to be righteous before God. As the text convey, these Pharisees follow Jesus around and they monitor Jesus and his disciples, looking for ways to get him, particularly on the Sabbath, because Jesus and his disciples were not locked into this thing that everything comes to a halt on the Sabbath. They went about the business of the Lord because they were with the Lord. It's a real irony here because it took more effort to make that accusation than it did for the disciples to eat the wheat. So Jesus, of course, he defended the actions of the disciples, telling the story about David, but he makes this clear what the Sabbath was made for, not the other way around. So by listening to God's word, we should be encouraged and know we have been blessed. Jesus has taken another burden off of our shoulders by conveying to us the real purpose of the Sabbath. Now it gets really interesting. So what are we supposed to be doing on the Sabbath? Well, if you're a follower of Christ and you understand his comment that if you love me, you will obey my commands, and if the commandment to keep the Sabbath, keep one day in seven, holy unto the Lord, so if you love me, you will obey my commands. One of my commands, because Jesus and God, same thing. One of my commands is to keep one day in seven holy. Do you keep the Sabbath? Christians, evangelical Christians, chose that Sunday would be the day of Sabbath. So we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. But it's more important than that. It's more important than that. It's not that you don't do anything. It's not that you have to leave here, scurry home, and sit in your living room all day. Go out and work in your garden. That's good. But one day in seven, you are supposed to set aside your worldly stuff and dedicate that day to the Lord. And how do we do that? I would argue that if you are an evangelical Christian, that your Sabbath rest is for you to show up on Sunday morning someplace. We have lots of room here. You are to show up somewhere and worship the Lord. That's how your day should start. You should be focusing on the Lord. You should start your day with your mind on God and his stuff, not your stuff. So the Pharisees are being so legalistic about, you know, you can't even touch the grain of sand. So I'm telling you, I'm giving you permission. Go home and putter in your garden. Because for most of us, that's restful, is it not? But I would argue that if you get up in the morning, have your cup of coffee, and you go out and spend the day gardening, you have violated the Word of God. It's a pretty strong statement. Now, if you are praying and singing psalms as you putter in the garden, you could say, well, see, I'm honoring the Lord and dedicating the day to him. But see, now you got to go back to the rest of Scripture, where it says in Hebrews, it says, you shall not forsake the gathering together of believers. So it seems to be pretty clear that we are supposed to gather with the believers. We are supposed to honor one day in seven and set it aside for the Lord. So I'm going to say that our Sabbath rest hinges upon us being in worship on Sunday morning. And if we don't do that, we have to answer to ourselves and to the Lord why you choose not to do that. Why do you choose to do that? Why do you choose to go there? Why do you choose that today I've got so much to do that today I can't observe the Sabbath? Don't ever convince yourself or comfort yourself by saying, well, I'm observing the Sabbath, even though I don't go to church, even though I don't pray on that day. I'm thinking about the Lord. You don't get to choose how it works. The God said you will set aside one day in seven to worship the Lord. So here's my, I don't know if it's challenge. You want everybody you know to know Jesus. Amen? Really? You want everyone to know Jesus. Amen? You scared me there for a minute. Because you love them. Because you want them to know Jesus. Now, what do you want to know? The Bible says in Matthew 28, you should go make disciples and baptize them. And then it goes on to say, and teach them to obey everything that I've given you. So you want people to know Jesus. You want them to love Jesus. And you want them to obey Jesus. And that means you need to have them here on Sunday morning. You know our high fives that we have, that you're all doing every Sunday, calling five people that are...